This is The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh Blevins of Grace Calvary Chapel.
Patience and faith is not doing only the things that are small enough for my mind to wrap around. Patience and faith is not giving up at the first sign of discouragement or failure. Patience and faith is not staying inside the boat when Jesus called you to walk on the water. Patience and faith is not cowardly shrinking back in the face of persecution and sacrifice. Patience and faith is believing God's promise and living it out over time.
As Christians, we tend to neglect the need for patience in our walk with Christ. But as Pastor Josh teaches from the book of Hebrews today, he points out the importance of both faith and patience. He shows that faith without patience doesn't last and cites the example of Abraham, who waited decades for God's promise to him to be fulfilled. Sometimes we treat patience as something that is only needed in certain situations or by certain people. But the Bible makes clear that patience is something all of us need. Now, here's Pastor Josh in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 as he continues his message, Jesus Secures a Better Promise.
God does not just look at you doing something for someone else. The Bible is really clear about this. When you serve God's people, God says you are doing it to me, to God. Whatever you do to God's people, you do to God. This is frightening and encouraging at the same time. I would not want to be in the seat of someone in this world who decides they're going to have the agenda of persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says God will take personal vengeance on those who hurt his kids. That's a frightening thing. But here's the encouraging part. And you might remember this principle from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus was talking about the final judgment. It's a little long, but listen through. Jesus looks at those who have trusted in him. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." That ought to give us a whole different lens and perspective on our service of our ministry to people. That when I look at that person that I'm serving in need, I see Jesus. I see an act of worship. I see an act of love for Christ and the person that he himself has identified with through his death and resurrection. And this is a powerful truth. And so what is the response that we're called to? Verse 11, "If God will remember our labor of love that we have shown towards his name," that is, that we have shown towards the saints, same thing. If we do something to the saints, we do it to the name of God. Verse 11, he says, "And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Here's the application. Because God sees and hears and remembers and will reward every single thing that we do for him or have done for his church, then our response ought to be an even more diligent pursuit of service to God. It's a logical response. It is the one thing that will never be forgotten. I could sum it up like this. Don't stop running the race until you've crossed the finish line and received the prize. That's when you and I can stop. That's when we can rest. That's when we can tone it back a little bit after we have been rewarded for our service to the Lord here on this earth. And the application here is, I just think, is saying, don't quit on Jesus. Don't give up what he's called you to do. "Well, Josh, I got wounded by that person. They really hurt me in church." Get back up. Forgive them, dust your feet off, and get serving again. Well, I was burned in ministry. I was burnt out. Well, get back up. Get back into the game. There are still broken people that need the love of Jesus. There are people who need the truth of Jesus. There are people who need the resources of Jesus through you. You were disappointed that life or ministry didn't turn out as you hoped, and you have been spending time thinking the Lord let you down. My friend, the Lord did not let you down. The Lord gave his life on a cross for your sins. He gave you peace with God. He saved your soul from hell. And he ensured that you will be with him forever. Trust me, he hasn't let you down. But life is so unfair, and it's so, I love you. Don't wallow in your pity and allow it to be used by Satan to immobilize you. The Lord is not done with you yet. Get up and find a way that through your adversity and through your struggle and through the uncertainty and through the failures and through the directed paths that weren't hoped for or longed for, that through it, you can display the overcoming power of Jesus. And think about it. What is it that we love about the testimonies of people? Is it that they struggled? Or is it that through Jesus they overcame their struggle? Show even more diligence. The word diligence here means to earnestly strive, to pursue something with haste. There's an urgency to it. There's a quickness to it. There's a prioritization towards it. It describes what our actions and attitudes should look like towards the things of God. Diligence, right? A diehard Chiefs fan understands diligence. They program reminders for the schedule of the games. They have the ESPN app on the front of their phone. They have tickets purchased in advance for all the games they want to go to. They've already ordered the newest merch online. They've gone shopping for snacks for game day. They have their list of friends they're going to invite that have the same passion for them to watch the game. They bought a big TV. They've invested in their space. They are diligent. Here's the point. We all understand the word diligence. Why? Because there are things that matter to all of us. We understand what it's like to wake up in the morning to be thinking of what we have to do and to prioritize things around it and to build our schedule around the things that we want to passionately pursue and the things that we love in life. And this is a challenging exhortation. Even give more diligence to serving Christ and his church. Why? Because at one point, no one's going to remember the things. The Bible says that when we all stand before God, all that stuff like chaff will be burned away and remembered no more. The former things, the Bible says, will be remembered no more. But there are certain things that we can do now that will be remembered forever. And he says, give diligence, extra heed, quick pursuit to those things. Why? Because God won't forget those things. Those are the things he remembers. What are the things we are to be diligent about? I can't think of a more comprehensive list for your notes here of what the Christian should practically be diligent about than Romans chapter 12. In fact, I want you to physically turn there in your Bible because I want you to mark this passage in your mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. I encourage you to read the whole chapter on your own. But he gives us a picture of this diligence that I speak of. Romans chapter 12, listen to what Paul says in verses 9 through 18. He says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another." I love the ESV there. It says, outdo one another in showing honor, like a competition. I'm going to honor you. No, you're not. I'm going to honor you more. Like he's saying, have a competition about how fervently you love each other. Then in verse 11, not lagging in diligence, same word there, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all. And if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's the kind of diligence. Those are the things that we should be diligently and fervently pursuing. So God will not forget. Therefore, we must not forsake. Number two, verses 12 through 15 teach us this, that God has made a promise, so we must be, everyone say the word with me, patient. I know you guys love that word, patient. We all know the saying, be careful what you pray for. If you pray for patience, God might make you wait. I have news for you. It doesn't matter if you want it or pray for it or not. God's going to give you patience because it's what you need. You can pray for patience. It might prepare you more for the inevitable fact that you're going to get led. James even tells us through trials and tribulations that patience might be developed in you and have its perfect work, making you mature and complete and lacking in nothing. Patience is needed. Patience for what? For God's promise to be fulfilled. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The Bible gives us clear correlation between believing God's promise and waiting for it through patience and endurance. Paul introduces, notice, a negative action and a positive action. First, he says the negative action. Don't become sluggish, he says. It's the same word used in chapter 5, verse 11, when he says dull of hearing or slow of the ears, sluggish of the ears. Here, it represents a lackadaisical, apathetic, lethargic, and indifferent approach or pursuit of Christ. Don't become slow to move towards Christ, he's saying. Don't become apathetic or indifferent or lethargic to the things of God. Don't just settle in to your comfortable pace with the Lord. Don't become sluggish. There are those who might say, well, and it's easy for all of us to forget, Jesus hasn't come back yet. There are a lot of things going on in life, a lot of things I've got to do. But I want you to consider this story in Luke chapter 12. I'm not going to dissect it, but looking at it as an overarching principle. Luke chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing, it's activity, when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and to be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do accordingly to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Again, I'm not going into the implications of that, but here's the overarching principle. As servants of Christ, it should be a top priority for us to be mindful of the will of our Father in heaven and to be full of faithful activity until he comes. We are not to slack off. We are not to become sluggish in the things of God. But now notice there's a positive action. Don't only not become sluggish, but he says, imitate the faith and the patience of those who have inherited the promises in times past. And he uses Abraham as an example of someone who was promised something seemingly impossible by God. Remember Genesis chapter 12? God says, look up at the stars, Abraham. Your descendants are going to outnumber the stars. Every nation of the earth will be blessed through you. And think about it. Here's an older man with a barren wife and no kids. What does the Bible say? Abraham believed God, and it was attributed to him as what? Righteousness. But not only did Abraham believe God in that moment, right? Abraham kept believing God. 5 years later, 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, 25 years later, between the promise of a son and the fulfillment of the promise. Now, I think 25 years is a pretty good chunk of life, especially when you're at the end of it. But Abraham never let his natural doubts or fears or even his bad judgment and his mistakes and his failures ever keep him or dissuade him from fully believing that God would keep his promise. He endured the uncertainty. He endured the faithlessness of his wife. He endured the impossible situation. He endured, and he waited even after Isaac was born. And God said, okay, great, there's your son. Take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me. He took him up with faith. And until the very last moment where he held that knife above his son, he was on his way down believing God will keep his promise. If he has to raise him from the dead, God will keep his promise. If he has to provide an heir, God will keep his promise. I will trust God until the end. And of course, we all know the story. What happened on that mountain? The Bible says the mountain was called the place where God provided himself a sacrifice. God's promises to Abraham are actively seen even today. We are all children of Abraham by faith and inheritors of the promise of God. The nation of Israel, God's chosen land, it's a miracle to see what God has done to fulfill that one promise to one man who patiently and faithfully endured to believe the promise of God. Look at verse 15. And so it says, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We don't like that word after because it implies a process. It implies a patience. It implies a sanctification and an endurance. And here's the thing I learned from this passage. He says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Notice that you can't ever separate faith and patience. They're intertwined, faith and patience. Faith is the ability to believe God's promise. Patience is the ability to wait for God's promise. Here's an example. Does anyone in here want to join me in saying that they love a real wood fire in the winter? I love it. I grew up with a big old fireplace. And I just love it. When you're building a fire, you have kindling, newspaper, small sticks. And kindling immediately creates a flame. It's quickly ignited. But let me ask you, can you maintain a fire all day or all evening with kindling? No. See, what kindling does is it lights the smaller logs, which light the larger logs, to the point where you have so much heat that you throw a big log on there, and that thing just burns and burns and burns, and it just keeps the embers hot. You can throw wood on it. It will just continue to ignite for the long term. You see, some people have faith. They quickly jump on emotionally to something with God. They get excited about a ministry. They get excited about a word that they got from a message or something they read in the Bible. Oh, that's awesome. I'm all on board, God. But because they don't have the patience to wait with God and endure the process of sanctification and preparation that God has in mind, the fire of their faith burns out almost as quickly as it came up. But there are other people who have lots of patience. They have big old logs in their fireplace. And they wait on God, 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 and they wait on God. And it's like, have you done anything for God yet? Oh no, I'm just waiting. Well, some people use waiting as an excuse to not ever want to step outside of their comfort zone. Not ever want to say yes to something that might cost them something for the sake of Christ. Not ever want to travel in realms that require faith. You see, you could put it like this. The way the Christian life is to operate is putting the tinder of faith on the logs of patience so that you believe God for the long term and you follow Him with fervency and passion. Patience and faith. Patience and faith is not maintaining the status quo. Patience and faith is not doing only the things that are small enough for my mind to wrap around. Patience and faith is not giving up at the first sign of discouragement or failure. Patience and faith is not staying inside the boat when Jesus called you to walk on the water. Patience and faith is not cowardly shrinking back in the face of persecution and sacrifice. Patience and faith is believing God's promise and living it out over time. Here's how James put it in James chapter 5. Listen to this verse. James says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." He says, be patient. He echoes the same words of Hebrews. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. When's the coming of the Lord? That seems so far away. It could be right now. It's at hand. Do you believe that? Jesus' return is at hand. He is coming back at an hour we know not. We see the times and the season and the days in which we live. Jesus is coming back. And he said, whether your patience has to endure a lifetime and you die, not even having received the fullness of the promise, or Jesus comes back today and takes us all away. Like the farmer who casts out the seed and waits patiently as it grows, doesn't have any expectation of that popping up overnight or having a harvest next week. Establish your hearts. And then he says, and I won't stay here, but I got to say it. He says, don't grumble against each other because the Lord is at hand. The judge is at the door. Again, I love you all. You guys, we. Stop fighting with each other. Stop grumbling and complaining and gossiping about one another. We don't have time to be in nitpicky arguments that cause us to be ineffective in the work of the Lord.
That's all we have time for on today's edition of The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh Blevins. Thanks for tuning in. The Ascending Life is a ministry of Grace Calvary Chapel in St. Joseph, Missouri. And our prayer is that today's message from the book of Hebrews impacted your faith journey in a mighty way. If you have any questions about today's message or would like to connect for other reasons, feel free to give us a call at 816-279-2090. That number again is 816-279-2090. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear others like it from Pastor Josh, just visit theascendinglife.com and click on Media. You can watch our YouTube channel, read our blog, or listen to our podcast. Or, better yet, visit us in person. We meet each Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m. and would love to have you join us. At Grace Calvary Chapel, we believe in awakening people to the love, truth, and power of God. If you're looking for a place where you can experience the love, truth, and power of God, we'd love to be that space for you. All are welcome, so come just as you are. For directions and other information about who we are and what we believe in, visit theascendinglife.com. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram to receive daily encouragement too. Well, that's it for today. But thanks again for tuning in to today's message with Pastor Josh. Join us again next time to learn more from the mighty book of Hebrews right here on The Ascending Life. We're reaching up, we're pressing in.